Well, I appreciate being here tonight and being able to share the hope of a gospel that is made available to every one of us that are here tonight. Regardless of your spiritual status tonight, regardless of your circumstances in life, the hope of the gospel reaches every one of us. And I'd like to just start by saying that if you have a hole in your life tonight, if you have an emptiness, if you have something that is bigger than you are, that has been holding you back, has been hindering you from having the peace, the security, the hope that you desire, the Lord has a message for you tonight. And the message is that we make haste because salvation, deliverance is offered to you. I'd like to read what Jeremiah said. The Lord has special plans for all of us. Do you believe that? Did you know that the Lord, when He was on the cross, somebody wrote a song that said, "When He was on the cross, I was on His mind." The Lord knows who you are tonight. He knows you by name. He's calling you by name. And He has special plans for you. And He has an expected positive end that He would like to impart to you. Regardless of what your spiritual status is tonight, regardless of what you're facing, this promise, this invitation applies to you. In the 29th chapter of Jeremiah it said in the 11th verse, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto" who? "Unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all of your heart." That's a promise. It's a promise that is made to all of us. If you will seek the Lord with all of your heart, He said, "I will be found of you." Not of a congregation, not of the church of God, not of this group or that group. He said, "I will be found of you." That gives me hope tonight. Regardless of what I'm facing, the invitation was to me. Now, I would like to remember an account in the 19th chapter of Luke, keeping all of that in mind. The 19th chapter of Luke says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, that he was gone to be guest with the man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house." Jesus' purpose of coming to Zacchaeus' house was not to bring guilt. It was not to bring him in condemnation. His purpose was not to reiterate to him all of the reasons why he wasn't worthy to have a hope of salvation. But the reason he came to Zacchaeus' house was because he wanted Zacchaeus to go away a man with purpose, with peace, with a hope, with a friendship, with a relationship with the Lord. That was His purpose of coming to Zacchaeus' house. And tonight, the Lord has a purpose. He has a desire to come to your house. He has a desire to come meet you on a personal level. He wants to have a relationship with you. And He wants you to go away a new and a different person. He wants you to have victory in your life. He wants to give you purpose. He wants to put a new song in your heart. He wants to take old things and He wants to make them go away. He wants to bring you new things. Behold, all things, old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. That's what the Lord wants for you tonight. I'd like to notice 3 points about this story that I'd like to leave with you. And the first one is that Zacchaeus did not allow his spiritual condition or the circumstances or physical hindrances he had to keep him from pressing to see Jesus. The second point is that he made haste. When given the opportunity, when he was called, after he had pushed through the press, he made haste. And thirdly, what was the result? Salvation was the result. Salvation was the result of that. You know, Zacchaeus had undoubtedly heard of Jesus. I think that's why he wanted to see Jesus. Jesus wasn't just some man where somebody came up to Zacchaeus that morning and said, "Hey, Zacchaeus, there's a man passing through town. You might want to see him. He's kind of a new man." And well, there's lots of people that pass through Jericho. Undoubtedly, Zacchaeus had heard of a man called Jesus. He had no doubt heard that this was a man that had the ability to come and change situations that looked to be situations that could not be changed. Perhaps he had heard of those that had been blind and that now saw. Maybe the cripples that now had been raised up and were walking again. Those that had incurable diseases, conditions. Those that had a hope. The masses that followed him, maybe he wondered, why would people follow him? You know, I heard about these men that left everything and they followed Jesus. Why would they want to do that? I believe Zacchaeus, he knew a little bit about Jesus. And so he had a desire to come and to see Jesus. And I wonder, this is me speaking tonight, I wonder if way down deep, just maybe Zacchaeus thought, is it possible that if I can get within sight of Jesus, is it possible that I might be able to observe something special? Maybe he even thought, is it possible that I might be included in this special thing with the Lord? I don't know, but I know what the answer was. The answer was yes. The answer was absolutely. If he could get to where Jesus was, if he could do his part, yes, the Lord wanted to do something for Zacchaeus. So this day came and said Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And it said that Zacchaeus, who was Zacchaeus? Said Zacchaeus was chief among publicans. And when I read this, I made a little note to myself and wrote, not exactly what was thought of as a spiritual giant. See? He wasn't. He wasn't a... In fact, he was exactly probably... Well, he was. We heard. We found out in the story. He was on the opposite end of that spectrum. Zacchaeus wasn't spiritual. Zacchaeus was a cheater. Zacchaeus was a man who took advantage of others. Zacchaeus had some major issues in his life. Zacchaeus needed help. Zacchaeus was in a place of pride, no doubt. Zacchaeus had a position that he had to try to maintain, no doubt. He was chief among the publicans. Image was everything to them, it seemed. the Lord said, I mean, you enlarge the borders of your garments. You know, you're religious on the outside, but inward, you're like dead men's bones. Zacchaeus didn't have anything spiritual to come to Jesus and say, Lord, I'm Zacchaeus and I'm the one that you think about each night because I'm the one that's always doing your will. He didn't have that. Zacchaeus was far from that when he came to see Jesus. Chief among the publicans. And he was rich. You know what Jesus said about the rich? He said, he told his disciples, it's easier for what? It's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Zacchaeus had some major issues in his life. But for some reason that morning, Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. And so it said he sought to see Jesus, who he was. So I can see Jesus or Zacchaeus and perhaps he heard, oh, maybe he was watching the crowds. Maybe he saw the dust first, I don't know. But he somehow something clued him into the fact that here Jesus came. Jesus was coming. This is my time. So I can just see Zacchaeus. So I'm going to go out and see Jesus now. Many times like we do. Oh, I need to go see Jesus about this. But he ran into a problem. Quickly. He went out with good intentions. He wanted to see Jesus. But when he got out there, my goodness, there was a wall between him and the Lord. How was he going to get to Jesus? There was a press all around him. There was something that seemed to separate Zacchaeus from being able to come in contact with Jesus. And on top of that, he was short. He couldn't see above the crowd. So there was two strikes against him. Well, he could have just turned around and said, well, I tried. But you know what it says that he did? It said he ran before and he climbed up in a tree. He pushed through. Zacchaeus did not allow his spiritual condition. He didn't say, well, I'm chief among publicans. I guess I'll stay home because this man doesn't want to hear me. And Zacchaeus wasn't in the place where he wanted to challenge Jesus like the Pharisees were. That's not where he was coming from. So from a spiritual standpoint, folks, he didn't have what you would think he needed to approach Jesus in his mind. And he had physical and circumstantial issues that separated him. But Zacchaeus did not allow those to hinder him from pressing forward to come and see Jesus. The enemy often uses these very things against us. We begin to have a desire, oh, if I could see Jesus. If Jesus, Del says, that's for somebody else. Thank you. I mean, you know, you had your time. You are so deep in it, you need to about as well go back to what you're doing. The enemy whispers lies to us all the time. Well, you're not in a spiritual state to see Jesus. You're not saved. Exactly. That's why Jesus came.
That's right. That's
exactly, you're not saved. Exactly, you don't have what it takes spiritually. But the enemy tries to cause us to think, you are not adequate. You don't have what it takes to be able to come forth boldly to the throne of grace to ask for the mercy and the help that every single one of us needs tonight. The enemy tries to tell you that. You don't have what it takes. You might as well just stay home. And if we press through that, and sometimes we do, we say, I'm going to come to him anyway. I heard the preacher say, I heard my mother say years ago, just come to Jesus as you are. And sometimes we get past that. And as we begin to venture out, the devil's right there again and say, wait a minute. Maybe the Lord came to do something for those that weren't saved. But look, you are in such a mess in your life. You have problems that have just entangled you, even if you wanted to be saved. You have things in your life that won't allow you physically to be able to see Jesus. The enemy tries to whisper all of these sorts of things to us. Don't allow the enemy victory in those things tonight.
Amen.
Don't allow the enemy to tell you those lies. Don't allow your spiritual state tonight to dictate whether or not you will press to come to see the Master. He came to save those, to bring deliverance to those that were in need, to bind up those that were in need, to help those, to free, to loose those that were in captivity. That's why Jesus came. He came to bring a solution to problems that are bigger than you are. This message is more than to just a sinner tonight. The devil tries to take saved people and tries to steal our peace and tries to put things in our life and say, well, you can be saved, but you're going to drag this through life. And you're not going to have the peace that everybody else has. You might as well just get used to it. Don't allow the enemy to feed you that line.
Amen.
Push through the press.
Yeah. Amen.
Fight to make contact with Jesus. Climb a tree if you have to.
Yeah.
Run around the block if you need to. Shout louder as Bartimaeus did.
Yes.
Come to the altar. The enemy says, oh, you can't do that. What do people think of you? You know what I mean? You've been around a long time and you've been saved for a long time and people wonder what's happened. That's the enemy whispering to us. Be like Zacchaeus. Go be willing to stand out a little bit. That's what he did and that's what allowed him to see Jesus. Be willing to do that. Make contact with him for all that you're worth. The woman with the issue of blood, she tried everything she could within her own power and within the physician's power and with the other people's power. And there was no solution to it. But you know what? One day a solution came by. And his name was Jesus. And she found the same thing. She walked out of her house one day, said, I want to go touch this man. And she went out and there was the same adjective was used. The press. Or a noun, a person, place, or thing. There was a thing surrounding Jesus. There was a press. But you know what she did? She pressed through the press and left the enemy back at her house. You stay here. I'll go see what I can do. I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to press. And she did. And she touched Jesus and she found what she needed. You remember Bartimaeus on the corner? He yelled and people said, oh, don't cry out for the Lord. You know, you're causing a disruption. Yes, exactly. I'm causing a disruption. That's what I'm trying to do. And he cried louder. Are you willing to do that tonight? Did you know that that's what it takes?
Amen.
Do you remember what we read in the beginning in Jeremiah? In the day that ye seek me with a partial heart? In the day that you wander out your door and if I'm just kind of easily available, then I'll be found of you. That's not what it said. It said, in the day that you seek me with all of your heart. When was the last time you sought the Lord with all your heart? You know, a lot of times when I feel like, Lord, it seems like it's been a while since I've just experienced that overflowing. And then I ask myself, when was the last time, Rod, that you sought the Lord really with all your heart? Did you know it takes time? And it takes energy. And a lot of times we quickly walk out of our house, we say a quick prayer, we'd like the Lord to bless us, and then we don't feel it, and then we go away discouraged, and the enemy says, well, see there, I mean, you can't really get through to Him. Jesus is a God of His Word. He promised us, if you seek me with all of your heart, if you're willing to press through the press, if you're willing to cry louder, and when the people say, oh, hush up, now quiet down, you're causing a disruption, you say, wait a minute, no, I'm not done pressing. I'll cry louder. I want to touch Jesus. I want to experience what He has. And you do it, and you give everything, I will be found of you, saith the Lord. Jesus will do the rest. If we'll press, if we'll give Him our all, if we'll push, Jesus will do the rest. We don't have to have everything solved before we come to the Lord.
Amen.
Somebody told me one time that They really weren't quite ready to get saved yet because there were still some things they didn't quite understand. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. You'll never get saved at that rate. Come to the Lord. You don't have to have everything all figured out. That's the reason the Lord came, is because you don't have it figured out. You know, we need to get rid of the notion that somehow, for us to be spiritual giants, we first have to become a spiritual giant before we can go to the Lord and become a spiritual giant. That doesn't work in my book. Algebra doesn't teach that. They don't equate. We have to be willing to come just as you are. You know what the Lord really wants from you? He wants an honest heart that says, you know what, Rod, you got a problem. He wants us to get to the place where, as we heard this morning, you look in the mirror and you say, Rod, I don't like the way you look today. I don't like the way that you talked yesterday. I've been there. My children can testify to that. And then I have to go do something about it. You know what the Lord wants? He wants humility. He wants an openness of heart. He wants us to just open up ourselves and say, Lord, here I am. I'm unworthy. I don't have what it takes. I'm not spiritual. I haven't been doing what I needed to do. I remember one time I wasn't where I needed to be spiritually, and I wasn't doing what I should have been. Bottom line was, I wasn't reading and praying like I should, and I was almost afraid to tell the Lord about it because then I might, you know, tune Him in to the fact that I wasn't talking to Him as much as I should have been. And then He would have said, oh, my goodness, you haven't been reading like you should have. You do have a problem. He already knew. He was waiting for me to figure it out. He was waiting for me to acknowledge it. He was waiting for me to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I have a problem. I haven't been what I should have been. And you know, I still remember the morning I was 19 years old and I bent down beside my bed and I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I have not been doing what I should be doing. And the Lord met me. Just like He said that He would. You don't have to have everything figured out before the Lord, before you come to the Lord. If you push through, if you're willing to come no matter what, the Lord will do the rest. Listen to what He said. Zacchaeus did his part. He found a tree. He climbed up in it. And when Jesus walked by him, I don't know what all Zacchaeus was thinking as Jesus got closer, but I always like imagining Zacchaeus up in the tree. Of course, I imagine him with colorful robes on and kind of awkward looking up in this tree, like, you know, people are thinking, what are you doing up in the tree? And he's like, never mind what I'm doing up in the tree. I've got a reason for being here, and I'm here because I want to, and nobody made me, and this morning I'm going to do everything I can to touch and to see Jesus. And so he's climbing up in the tree, and I can just see Jesus getting closer and closer, and he's watching thinking, hey, I got a pretty good view. I mean, he's right here. And then lo and behold, Jesus stopped. Oh my goodness, he decided to stop right here. I mean, I've really got a front seat view. Jesus didn't stop there. And I can just see Zacchaeus watching him, and the Lord look up at him. Zacchaeus, and listen to what he said. Jesus came to the place and he looked up and he saw him and he said, Zacchaeus. He called him by his name. I can say, Zacchaeus is up to, did you? Zacchaeus? That's me. You called my name? Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, come down. And this brings me to the second point that I want to bring to you tonight. What did Zacchaeus do? He made haste. Listen to what he said. And he made haste. And he came down and he received him joyfully. Pay attention to Zacchaeus' actions. This is key. Have you found the Lord tonight? Listen to the process. First, don't allow your condition tonight to keep you from pressing to see Jesus. Don't wait till you clean up your life to come to the Lord. That's why He's there. And when the Lord passes by your way, follow Zacchaeus' example. At the very start, when he saw that there was a problem, the press, it didn't say he walked in front of them. It said he ran. He ran so that he could get in a place where he could see Jesus. And then when the Lord came by and he said, Zacchaeus! Zacchaeus, come down! I'm going to go to your house today! Zacchaeus made haste, it said, and he came down. One of the favorite tools of the enemy is to get us to procrastinate, to delay, to defer action, to try to put it off. What if Zacchaeus was up in the tree and he stopped and everything was going perfectly to plan? And the Lord said, Zacchaeus, and he called him by name. And he said, come down, because today I'm going to go to your house. And what if Zacchaeus said, oh, Lord, could you check with me next week? Come by next week, because, well, I have some things I need to take care of. I mean, and Zacchaeus, the enemy could have just been feeding him stuff. You need to pay four times this, and you need to give half of your goods, and you need to do all these things. And then if Jesus comes by, then maybe. What if Zacchaeus did that? Salvation would not have come to his house. But Zacchaeus joyfully, even though he owed everyone all these things, even though he wasn't a spiritual giant, even though he was a sinner man, even though he had things in his life that was bigger than he was, it said he made haste and he came down. He didn't sit up in a tree admiring all of his problems. We admire our problems too much. We admire our inadequacies too much. We rent out too much space in our minds for all of our problems and all of our shortcomings and all of our loads and all of the giants in our lives and all of the walls of Jericho that are in our lives. We admire them too much up in the tree when Jesus is saying, come down! I'm going to come to your house today! Make haste! Don't delay and defer action. Don't be like, remember Felix? You remember when Paul reasoned with him of righteousness and temperance and judgment. You remember what Felix did? He trembled. Why? Because Jesus had passed by his way. It's because his heart was being talked to. And he trembled. But you know what his answer was? He said, go thy way. And I, listen to what he said, and I will call for thee when I, too many I's already, have a more convenient season. You know, there were way too many assumptions wrapped up in that statement. A couple of them were, first of all, he had no guarantee. Well, first of all, that there's going to be a more convenient time. The enemy always likes to tell us, young people, listen, today's the day of salvation. There's a reason why Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, said, it is good. Isn't he the one that said it is good for a man to bear his yoke in his youth? And didn't he also say that we needed to give them, what was it, the 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes? And he gave us instruction. Live for the Lord while you're young. Why? Because today is the day that's the most convenient. If you think today's not convenient, give the enemy a little bit more time in your life. You think today isn't a good day? You think tomorrow will be bad? You just give it some time and you'll find yourself getting in a real pickle. Today's the day of salvation. So don't listen to the enemy do that. Don't fall into that trap. This could be your last day that Jesus passes by. We don't have any guarantees of tomorrow. You don't have any guarantees of tomorrow. Make haste. Be willing to come down. Allow the Lord to talk with you. Give Him your heart. Give Him your life. Set on the altar the giants that are in your life that are bigger than you are. Don't listen to the enemy. The third point. When we make haste, and when we don't allow the obstacles that we face in our lives, whether it be our spiritual condition, or whether it be circumstantial things, whatever it is, when we don't allow those to keep us from pressing to make contact with Jesus, and we make haste, the Scripture tells us that salvation results. For everybody. There's examples all through history where this has been the case. All through history up until today, there are people among us today, living examples, who pressed to see Jesus regardless. And when the Lord passed by, they didn't care what other people thought. They pushed aside all of the reasons. There's always reasons. Let the world have the reasons and do what's right. It's simple. It's not complicated. And we have examples after example after example that when people do that, they see Jesus. Yes, Zacchaeus found himself in a situation here where he no doubt thought, he knew those that are around him, he was getting ready to say something, and he probably knew that they thought he was going to be a hypocrite for what he was getting ready to say, but he kept pushing from the heart and he sought with all of his heart. Listen to what he said. He said, and when they saw it, they, the people that were watching, they saw Jesus call Zacchaeus. They saw Zacchaeus come down joyfully. And I can just see, and they murmured, saying, well, this man, he's gone to be, talking about Jesus right now, this man's gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. Yes! Exactly! That's why Jesus came. He didn't come to save the righteous. The Lord didn't come to pat everyone on the back that didn't have giants in their lives that were big, that weren't bigger than they were. That's what He came to help us with. And yet, when we hear the murmuring and the voice that keeps prompting us, oh, you better not, you're just a hypocrite. You're not worthy to do that. That's why Jesus came. And these people murmured and said, well, talked about Jesus, you're with the man that's a sinner. And Zacchaeus, he just stood up. He wasn't even sat down. He just stood up. He was willing to be seen by them all. He stood up and he said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. See, he didn't have to be told what he needed to do. Brother Ivan said this morning, we were talking about it the other day as a family, the problem so many times, we spend so much time trying to figure out exactly, well, is this wrong? And do I have to do this? And, well, where does the Bible really say that I have to go quite this far? And, well, won't the Lord still accept me if I do this? I mean, will this keep me? Listen, I'm not interested in being in that bondage. When salvation comes to your house, and you have a willing and an open and an honest heart, and you just come lay it all out, these things just start taking care of themselves. Like Brother Ivan said this morning, it just, you know, you begin to know what to do. You don't have to have, you know, all kinds of teachers and people of wisdom coming and trying to lay it all out. A fool, though a wayfaring man, shall not enter therein. Why? Because the Lord is looking for the honest heart. He's looking for the one who's willing to make haste. He's looking for the one who's willing to let Him come into His house and into His heart and look around a little bit. Zacchaeus realized that, and he had a salvation experience, and he was getting happier as he stood there, and he said, half of my goods I'm going to give to the poor, and if I've taken anything by false accusation, I'm going to give him fourfold. And the Lord didn't say, well, wait a minute, Zacchaeus. I really think you ought to give about, you know, maybe not just twice, but 2.16%. And you really, instead of the fourfold, you're missing it by about a percent and a half. His heart was where it was supposed to be. He was willing to give from his heart. And Jesus said, this day is salvation come to your house today. The pearl of great price. I want to tell you who went to bed a happy man. It was Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus went to bed a happy, content, truly rich man because he had found it in Jesus. Because he was willing to press even though everything else told him, might as well stay home. Let the other more qualified people go after it. It's a wonderful story, but it doesn't apply to you. He didn't listen to that. And when the time came, and Jesus stopped and said, Zacchaeus, it's your turn today. And he knocked on his heart's door. Zacchaeus made haste. He made haste. And he went to bed a happy man. Different from the rich man who came to Jesus and went away sorrowful. Did that ever make any sense to you? When the man came to Jesus and he said, "What must I do to be saved?" And the Lord told him what he needed to do to be saved. And then the man went away sorrowful because he wasn't willing to do it. So he went away sad. Does that ever make any sense to you? Why do we do that? Why do we allow ourselves to hold on to things, not push through the things that are the very things that are making us sad? And the Lord said, "I'll tell you what. You give that up and let me give you something of greater value, and then you'll be happy." And we go, Lord, why did you have to ask for that? And we go home a sad man again. That doesn't make any sense. We don't have to be among those. He didn't go home like King Agrippa did, who said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. He didn't go home like Felix, who said, "Well, when I have a more convenient season." Are you on that list? Is there anybody here tonight that's on that list? That has felt the call of the Lord? That wants to live right? Maybe has a giant in their life that you haven't been able to get through, but you just feel like you can't quite get there from where you are? It doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be. Think about the thief on the cross. What did he have to offer Jesus? Was he a spiritual giant? No. He was dying because of what he said. He was justly dying for what he had done. But he reached out from the heart. And he stepped forward and was willing to cry out to the Lord from his heart and say, "Would you remember me, Lord?" He didn't even feel worthy to say, "Will you save me?" But he just said, "Will you remember me?" And the Lord knew exactly where his heart was, and he said, today you will be with me in paradise. You want to be in that number? I do.
Yes.
And that's the wonderful news. Jesus is willing to come to all of our houses tonight.
Yes.
Provide the same opportunity. The 10th verse says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." That was all of us. We've all been in that spot. And that's why Jesus came. And I believe that that's one of the reasons the story of Zacchaeus is in the Bible. It's because there are elements of this story that can apply to every single one of us tonight. And the Lord wants to bring a salvation, a deliverance, a freedom. Do you feel a longing to be in touch with Jesus? Do you have a hole? Do you have a need? Do you have something that you just have not been able to seem to get past? You know what another good one is with the enemy? Well, you know, you have a big need that keeps you from having peace, but it's really not a spiritual issue. So you can come see Jesus all you want, but He isn't going to be able to help that. Listen, the Lord came to roll away stones that are bigger than you are. Mary and Martha, when they came to the tomb, they took what they had to offer. They were doing everything they knew to do, and on their way they said, "Well, how are we going to even get in there? The stone is in front of the tomb, and it's bigger than we are." But they weren't at their house talking about it. They were going to where Jesus was. They didn't know completely how they were going to see Him. All they knew is, "This is all we can do, and we're going to do it." And when they got there, the stone was already rolled away. And that's what the Lord wants to do for you. That's what the Lord wants to do for all of us in our lives. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man..." There's no qualifications on that. "If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him and sup with him and he with me." Tonight, let's be encouraged. Don't allow your spiritual situation tonight to keep you from seeking Jesus. Don't allow the circumstances in your life. Don't look at them and say, "Well, you know what? This happened to me and I got put in this spot, and even if I get saved, it isn't going to change this thing over here, and I've battled it, and even if I have peace in my heart on some things, I've still got this big hole." Jesus is in the business of plugging holes. He's in the business of taking care of the problems that you have no idea how to take care of. Be willing tonight to come regardless and make haste. Don't delay. Don't defer action like some of them did. Jump in the water. Do you remember the priests when they were crossing over the Jordan into Canaan? They took the ark that if they misused could cost them their lives. And it didn't say they stuck back there and dabbled their feet in the water just to see what would happen. And the water didn't, they could have stayed on the bank all day, all night for the next 40 years if they wanted to and spent another 40 years out there waiting for the water to part. The Lord said, cross. Come. And they looked at him and said, how? The water's just water. The Scripture says the water was overflowing the banks. How are they going to do that? You know what they did? They did it anyway. And it is when they didn't allow that obstacle to stop them. It is when they didn't delay and defer action. It's when they stepped into the water that the waters parted. That's what the Lord wants to do for all of us tonight. The result? Salvation. An answer. A solution. That's what the Lord has for all of us tonight. Let's be encouraged tonight. Let's avail ourselves of the Lord when He passes by our way. Amen.